Welcome to Morgan Lewis Podcast Central, Dateline, September 23rd, 2014. This is a podcast production of Morgan Lewis's Labor and Employment Law Flash. New OSHA reporting mandate includes single employee hospitalization. Prior to January 1st, 2015, employers should take steps to ensure compliance with a significant new OSHA rule that requires employers to notify OSHA within 24 hours of the inpatient hospitalization of more than one employee or an employee's amputation or loss of an eye. Now, on to the podcast. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, has revised its Occupational Injury and Illness Recording and Reporting Requirements, codified at 29 CFR subsection 1904.2 and 29 CFR subsection 1904.39, effective January 1, 2015. The revised rule was published on September 18, 2014. Most significantly, the revised rule contains a new reporting requirement, which mandates that employers report to OSHA within 24 hours of any work-related incident that results in A, the inpatient hospitalization of one or more employees, B, an employee's amputation, or C, an employee's loss of an eye. Previously, employers were only required to report to OSHA within 8 hours of any work-related incident that resulted in the hospitalization of three or more employees. Reporting an amputation or loss of an eye was not required. The requirement to report a work-related fatality within 8 hours remains unchanged. OSHA estimates that the new reporting requirement could lead to 170,000 additional reportable incidents per year, any of which could be used as the basis for initiating an inspection by OSHA. Here is a quick summary of the current and new reporting requirements. Work-related fatality. Now and beginning January 1, 2015, all must be reported to OSHA within 8 hours if the fatality occurs within 30 days of the incident. Work-related inpatient hospitalization of one or more employees. Currently, for one or two employees, no reporting is required. For three or more employees, they must be reported to OSHA within 8 hours. Beginning January 1, 2015, they must be reported to OSHA within 24 hours if hospitalization occurs within 24 hours of the incident. A work-related amputation. Currently, no reporting is required. On January 1, 2015, all must be reported to OSHA within 24 hours if the amputation occurs within 24 hours of the incident. And a work-related loss of an eye. Currently, there is no reporting requirement. Beginning January 1, 2015, all must be reported to OSHA within 24 hours if the loss occurs within 24 hours of the incident. Additionally, as we will explain, OSHA has modified the categories of employers who are partially exempt from the requirement to keep annual worksite-specific injury and illness records. Definitions of new terms. The revised rule contains the following two new definitions. First, inpatient hospitalization is defined as a formal admission to the inpatient service of a hospital or clinic for treatment that involves more than only observation or diagnostic testing. And two, amputation is defined as a traumatic loss of a limb or other external body part, such as a limb or appendage, that has been severed, cut off, amputated either completely or partially, fingertip amputations with or without bone loss, medical amputations resulting from irreparable damage, and amputations of body parts that have since been reattached. But the definition does not include avulsions, enucleations, deglovings, scalpings, severed ears, or broken or chipped teeth. Method of reporting and potential public disclosure. Previously, employers could provide notice to OSHA of a reportable incident by contacting the OSHA area office nearest to the site of the incident during business hours or by calling OSHA's toll-free central telephone number 1-800-321-OSHA. Under the revised rule, employers may still use these same methods. However, an employer will also be permitted to report an incident through a reporting application located on OSHA's website. Note, as of the date of this publication, the reporting application is not yet up and running. Additionally, during a press call on the revised rule on September 11th, Assistant Secretary of Labor for Occupational Safety and Health, Dr. David Michaels, stated that the new reports that employers will be required to make under the rule will be available to the general public on OSHA's website. Currently, OSHA only publishes reports of fatalities. The publication of these reports was not addressed in the revised rule, and it is unclear whether OSHA has statutory authority to do so. However, publishing the reports would be in line with a growing trend of OSHA's using publicity more aggressively to, in the words of Dr. Michaels, nudge employers to prevent injuries so they are not seen as unsafe places to work. Indeed, a proposed rule published by OSHA on November 8, 2013 would require certain employers to electronically submit establishment-specific injury and illness records, for example, all recordable injuries, directly to OSHA, and it also provided that OSHA planned to post that data on its website. OSHA recently published a supplement to that proposed rule on August 14, 2014, which indicated its intention to give increased scrutiny to employers' policies on reporting injuries and illnesses, focusing on unreasonable requirements for reporting injuries and illnesses and retaliating against employees who report injuries and illnesses. OSHA has justified this supplement by relying on stakeholders' concern that the proposed electronic reporting of workplace injury illness data would motivate employers to underreport such data. This is all part of OSHA's broad focus on employers' record-keeping obligations over the last few years, including enforcement initiatives and the policy memorandum, the Fairfax Memo, released by OSHA on March 12, 2012, which focused on employee discipline policies and practices relating to reporting workplace injuries and illnesses, as well as safety incentive programs. Changes in the industry partially exempt from record-keeping. Under the old rule, employers in certain industries identified as low-hazard retail, service, finance, insurance, or real estate industries, based on their standard industrial classification, SIC code, were not required to keep yearly OSHA injury and illness records. OSHA forms 300, 300A, and 301, unless specifically asked to do so. The new rule relies on an employer's North American Industry Classification System, NAICS code, rather than the SIC code. Under the new rule, OSHA estimates that 220,000 establishments employing 5.5 million employees will be newly required to keep records, and 160,000 establishments employing 4.1 million employees will now be exempt. Specifically, employers in the following industries will now be required to keep injury and illness records effective January 1, 2015. Bakeries and tortilla manufacturing, automobile dealers, automotive parts, accessories and tire stores, building material and supply dealers, specialty food stores, beer, wine and liquor stores, other miscellaneous store retailers, direct selling establishment, lessors of real estate, activities related to real estate, consumers good rental, commercial and industrial machinery and equipment rental and leasing, other professionals, scientific and technical services, facilities support services, services to buildings and dwellings, other support services, other ambulatory healthcare services, individual and family services, community food and housing and emergency and other relief services, performing arts companies, promoters of performing arts, sports, and similar events, museums, historical sites, and similar institutions, other amusement and recreation industries, special food services, and other personal services. Who is covered? The changes to the reporting and record-keeping requirements apply to all employers covered by the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Act, OSH Act. Employers working in a jurisdiction with an OSHA-approved state plan should consult the applicable state plan regulations. OSHA has instructed state plans to adopt a rule that is identical to, or at least as effective, as the revised rule. Recommendations. To ensure compliance with the new reporting and record-keeping rules, employers covered by the Federal OSH Act should do the following. Review their safety handbooks and policies to ensure compliance with the new reporting requirements. Review their NAICS code to determine whether they will or will not be required to keep injury and illness records and update record-keeping policies as appropriate. And train employees on the new reporting and record-keeping requirements. Failure to comply with these new requirements could subject employers to citation under the OSH Act. If you have any questions or would like more information on the topics addressed in this podcast, please contact a Morgan Lewis attorney at morganlewis.com. This podcast is provided as a general informational service to clients and friends of Morgan Lewis & Bockius, LLP. It should not be construed as and does not constitute legal advice on any specific matter, nor does this message create an attorney-client relationship. These materials may be considered attorney advertising in some states. Please note that any prior results discussed in the material do not guarantee similar outcomes. Read more about Morgan Lewis and its market-leading labor and employment practice at morganlewis.com/labor.